This is Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Put my name up in the line!
Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Presented by Progressive Insurance. You can also just ask your smart speakers to play some Fitz and Harry as we break down everything from the Super Bowl matchup that is now set. The Eagles will take on the Chiefs for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And as we react to everything we saw yesterday with the Chiefs beating the Bengals in a close game that came down to the wire and the Eagles absolutely dismantling the 49ers, it leads to a lot of different conversation. But one thing we love to do on this show is we love to rank things that are both good and bad. So, Harry, I think it's time for a little three up, three down.
From the top stories in sports.
Guys, huge news over here.
To the bottom.
This is it. Rock bottom.
This is three up, three down with Fitz and Harry.
All right. So, Harry, why don't you be a beacon of light in a dark, dark world? Take the ups. I'll be my usual Monday self, and I will take the downs.
Now, once again, when it comes to edibles, which one's the upper?
I screwed it up for you last time.
Yes, I know. I don't want to screw it up this time.
I don't know. I mean, I take a blend, so, you know, it's the sativa is what I think. I don't remember. Indica's one of them. Sativa.
Okay, whatever. All right, we're going to start with the up.
Number one.
The ones I have now, are they have caffeine added to them. They're spectacular.
We're on the clock. Hush.
Sorry.
Number one.
Number one for me is going to be Hassan Reddick. Yes, I talked about him earlier within the show. A guy who's had 16 sacks this season, had 1.5 sacks versus the Giants. For some odd apparent reason, Kyle Shanahan wanted the backup tight end to block him one-on-one. He ended up with 2 sacks, forced a fumble, and almost forced another one. Hassan Reddick, my man. You have slipped through the cracks with a lot of people this season, but not in my eyes. Keep balling, young man. He's my number one, Fitz.
All right, I like that. You went one up. I'll start with one down, and my first down goes to my beloved Raiders. Going to see a theme to my downs. Why? Because this was supposed to be the year. No Tyreek Hill, right? The offense could take a step back. Maybe there were going to be holes on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe the offensive line would fall apart. Maybe there was something. Maybe the coaching staff would be disinterested. Maybe having to pay Patrick Mahomes would make the rest of the roster. Nope, 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 and nope. All the way across the board, all the Chiefs have done is run it back, get back to the damn Super Bowl. So now I got to watch the Super Bowl, realizing full well that we got, what, a decade, maybe 12, 13 years left of Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I could have a kid today, hopefully not, knock on wood, but if I had a kid today, that kid could be a teenager before the Mahomes era ends, which means I've got probably an entire adolescence worth of life left of having my heart ripped out and shoved down my throat. That's my one down.
Oh, my goodness.
Number two.
Number two. Also, go get a vasectomy, my man, if you don't want to have kids. Number two.
Number
Big guys
two.
Need loving, too. I'm going to go with Chris Jones because he was a man's child and he was hard to handle. Joe Burrow couldn't even do anything that he wanted to do because Chris Jones had bigger and better plans. 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 4 tackles, and 5 QB hits. So rumble, big man, rumble.
All right, that's 2 up. I'll go with my second down. Now, a question for you. Like, I don't really love the thought of having, like, a snip-snip in my no-nos. So, like, can I just wear super tight undies?
I got it, bro.
Undies?
It's good. Trust
like,
me.
Like, super tight undies while I go to, like, a sauna or something? Like, maybe
trust
I can find...
Me. Trust
like,
me, man. Just like, get the procedure. It's,
I'll let
it's fine.
You, I'll let you, like, line up like it's a field goal kick and just give me one good whack in the no-nos. Like, we'll go full Charlie Brown and see if that does the trick. All right, my second down is let's go to the Chargers next. You'll see a theme here. My first down was the Raiders. Second down was the Chargers. How do you like the fact that you're about to get Justin Herbert, like, paid, and the man deserves it, and that's going to give you, for the next 12 or 13 years at best, the second-best quarterback in the division? You got this great roster. I've got all these weapons. Spectacular. What's that going to get you? At best, the second-best standing in the division. Okay, maybe you go out. I don't know. Maybe you get Sean Payton to be the coach eventually. What's that going to give you? Second-best coach in the division. How's it feel to spend all that money, have all that talent, and know that at best you're fighting for a wild card? Doesn't feel good. I get it. I made the Raiders the number one down. The number two down goes to the Chargers, because guess what? For the next 12 or 13 years, unless you get lucky, you ain't going to be good enough to beat Kansas City. Ooh.
Wow.
Number three.
Number three for me.
It's best three up, three down we've ever done.
will be Patrick Mahomes. Oh. And ladies and gentlemen, when I bring up this young man, it's for a reason. It's because, you know, the 5 years of being a starting quarterback, three Super Bowl appearances, five AFC championship games. He is the best quarterback in the National Football League. Joe Burrow tried to creep around that corner, and Patrick Mahomes said, get back in that house, pulled out a switch and everything. Put him right across his lap, spanked him and everything in the AFC championship game last night. But right. Patrick Mahomes, and the way he was able to win that game last night and be phenomenal, coming in banged up, all hail to the king.
All right, that's three up. I'll give you a third down. The Denver Broncos, it's third down. The Raiders were the first, the Chargers are the second. The Broncos are the third down. Why? They're paying a quarterback right now like more money than the gross national product of like half the countries of the world to go out there and suck, right? So if you're the Broncos, you just got to look around and be like, hey, guess what? Maybe somebody can fix Russ. You're right. Maybe they can. And if they do, what's that going to get you? At best, second place in the division. Like, you just said it. Three Super Bowl appearances, right? Five AFC championship games. I figure by the time this thing's over, what are we going to be at? Like, 10? 10 Super Bowl? Like,
it's remarkable, man.
You know, I take back everything I ever said to or about suffering Jets fans, Dolphins fans, or Bills fans. Because I get it now. If you're looking at Bill and you're looking at Brady for all those years, you realize that like the best situation for you is probably second best. That's the exact situation that the rest of the West is looking at. This was the year. This was the year that the Chiefs were supposed to take a step back, and instead, they're back in the Super Bowl. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, and the whole time I'm going to eat my feelings, not because Kansas City's there. I'm going to eat my feelings because I realize that Kansas City's going to be there again and again and again and again. It's like suddenly you wake up one day and you realize that your ex is with Tom Brady and super famous and walking red carpets, and you're like, what the hell happened? Like, that is my life. I'm just going to constantly look at the Chiefs and Mahomes and realize that there's no amount of whiskey that can make me feel better on Sundays. This is it for me.
You want to know the sad part about this for a guy like you that is a Raiders fan? The young players for the Chiefs are starting to step up in a big way.
Don't you do this to me, Harry. Don't you do this to me.
And they're getting all this experience this season. I can't wait to watch these young players flourish in their second years and third years in the National Football League
next year. What do you do? When you're like, if you're taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, you can look in the mirror at some point and be like, you know what, guys, let's just wait out the next two or three years, build this roster. We'll get a quarterback eventually, and then we'll compete at the end of Rodgers' career. What do you do when you know you got a decade left of the greatest? Like right Man. Now, the way that Mahomes is playing, that he has a very real shot today. Who cares where he is compared today? By the end of all of this, does he have a chance right now today of being the best quarterback of all time? Yeah, realistically, he does.
That's what I want to ask you though. If Patrick Mahomes finishes his career with, let's say, four Super Bowls, he doesn't get seven. He finishes with four, but he's the greatest in everything else. Is he the greatest of all time?
No, I think the Super Bowl, the quantity of Super Bowl appearances for Brady is so overwhelming that is going to always be a record. The weirdest part about this is, again, if there was ever going to be a year when you are paying Mahomes, finally, like when you're at the spot where he takes up a substantial salary cap chunk, even bigger next year.
Listen to what I just said, though. Listen to what I just said.
If he
gets four Super Bowls, I know it's not seven, but if he gets four, would he be considered the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
No, he'd be one of the greatest. He wouldn't be the GOAT. Like, seven Super Bowls? No, seven. Seven is so
he's doing things that Brady didn't even do early on, though.
But if he gets, like, six, maybe there's a conversation. But, like, nah, if he's three away, if he's barely more than half, nah. I mean, like, that's – but what Evan's back there.
Is this really what we're doing right now?
This is just –
Like, the Super Bowl's been set – we have 2 weeks to do stuff like this, and we're really wasting three minutes.
The math you guys are trying to do right now.
This is no more than Harry Douglas just trying to remind me that for the next 12 or 13 years, this is what I have to do. This Bengals team and this Bills team could not beat that Chiefs team. In what was supposed to be a down year, that Chiefs team still looked at the Bills and was like, ah, we're fine. Still looked at the Bengals and said, ah, we're fine. I have no hope. I've lost all hope.
This is worse than my Kyle Shanahan take. This is dumb.
You know what? This is just a quick side note.
We didn't ask you, Evan.
You know what, Evan? Evan, take your headphones off. All right. Take your headphones off.
Get your lips away from the microphone.
Who let you
we didn't ask you.
Who let Evan out of take care today?
You know what? You get back in time out.
I'm so sad now. Like, I'm going to spend some extra time with my therapist today just talking about the NFL. All right. There's one more bad take here, by the way. I do have to say this loud and proud, loudly for everybody. The fact that the Empire State Building has lit themselves up in Eagles colors might be the dumbest damn thing I have seen all year. It has to be. Somebody sitting behind someone, like, take all my three downs, add them up, and it equals the amount of what the hell are you thinking to the Empire State Building, for anybody that's not good at this, located in New York, being colored after the Philadelphia Eagles? What?
They just want to support a winner.
Listen,
they want to support a winner.
They're doing it because we're talking about it. And it's smart. It's stupid, but it's smart.
Who was that time in the conversation?
This is Devin. This is Devin, Coach.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My boy Devin in here.
Come on, Coach.
You really think, like, I think Devin, like, I've got plenty of friends in my life.
We mentioned that Empire State.
As shocking as this is to most of our listeners, I have a huge number of friends in my life that don't even know that the Giants and the Eagles are a rival. So it's much easier for me to look at it and be like, oh, somebody that knows nothing about football decided that that would be a cool thing to do. I mean, but why not make it Chiefs colors? I don't know. Okay.
Well, they did afterwards.
Okay.
Like, they posted the Eagles after they won, and then after the Chiefs won, they posted that.
Oh, okay.
Well, they should have posted the, you know, Giants colors or the Jets colors.
Well, they did post the Jets colors. The only time they've ever put green and white on the Empire State Building.
Let's go to break. Let's
for
go
the
to
Eagles.
Break.
Devin gets it. He understands where I'm going.
Yeah, let's go to break.
Coming up. I got 2 weeks left of this, too.
He knows where I'm going.
You know what I have to do right now? I have to read this. For the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have to do this every day. It's going to make me throw up in my mouth. The real reason Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Proof is next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I need my therapist.
I'm the only one happy.
It's Mahomes' house, baby. Arrowhead. I love this place, man.
My goal is to win the Super Bowl. To me, the job's not finished.
And I can't wait till Kansas City and Philly clash. It's gonna be awesome, man. I mean, what a great Super Bowl will be.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast.
Trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling, and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late! He gets hit late!
I didn't expect to be able to run very much just from the way it felt. But the training staff, Julie, did a great job.
Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good! This game is over! You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike and disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Got to give my buddy Chris Young a shout out. I got to watch my famous friend sing Famous Friends on Saturday at Mohegan. Go see him on tour. Looking for You is the new single. It is spectacular. Just released it.
I bet you answer his phone calls.
Oh, yeah. I always answer Chris's phone calls. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he's Chris Young. And like, and you know what? I wouldn't even go to the bathroom to answer his phone calls. I would just sit at the booth and I would answer the phone by saying, "Hey Chris Young, what's going on?" In case anybody around me realized that, like, I was talking to, you know, country superstar Chris Young.
Wow,
like,
rubbing it in, huh?
I mean, okay. Like, you know.
Okay.
Harry Douglas ain't no Chris Young. I'm just saying, like, oh, I'm kidding. You know what?
I got you. Don't you worry.
The next time you call, I don't even care if I'm, like, in a place where I don't have to go to the bathroom to answer. I'm going to the bathroom to answer so that I can put the phone down and be like, sorry, it's Harry Douglas, as I'm at the urinal. That's my
one call. That's all. You know, commercial.
One call. That's all. Fitz and Harry is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. If you needed any further indication of the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, Ed Werder, our very own, tweeted this out. Check it out. Dak Prescott's number one wide receiver was traded, and he had his worst season. Aaron Rodgers' number one wide receiver was traded, and he had one of his worst seasons. Patrick Mahomes' number one wide receiver was traded, and he's going to another Super Bowl and should win NFL MVP. Harry Douglas, your thoughts?
Alert, alert, alert. Alert, alert, alert.
Hot take alert.
Oh, that's a hot take alert?
Patrick Mahomes did not lose his number one wide receiver. Because to me, Travis Kelce is a wide receiver slash tight end. His number one guy is still intact, is right there with him. It was a big part of what they did last night, has been a big part of what they were able to accomplish this season. Now, Tyreek Hill is a phenomenal wide receiver, and he meant a lot to the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do give him credit for that. And I look at this game last night, though, Fitz, and I kept saying to myself, damn, Patrick Mahomes is really, really that good. Not that I didn't know that beforehand, but when you have three guys go down, Kadarius Toney went down with an ankle. Miko Hardman went down with his pelvis. Got to get some more pelvis thrust in there.
Yep. Got to get them pelvis thrust in.
Got to get a little stronger.
How do you work your pelvis out, Harry?
Just multiple ways. I'll send you a memo. I'll send you a little video. Okay.
You're going to send me pelvis workout videos?
I'll send you a little video, man.
That seems a little awkward. Okay.
But Juju Smith-Schuster goes down with the knee as well. But I also thought, I really did believe that other guys stepped up. You talk about Marquez Valdez-Scantling, what he was able to do and get six receptions for 116 yards and a touchdown, but his six receptions were so meaningful and came at like big moments in the game. Every time he caught a football, it felt. You talk about Isaiah Pacheco, you know, a young cat, man, trying to find his way in this lead and hitched on with the Kansas City Chiefs and played a big role, five receptions, 59 yards. McKinnon, two receptions. Sky Moore, you know, when they threw the ball to him, he stepped up, three receptions, 13 yards. Patrick Mahomes was able to do it without the house names. And that just speaks to volume of how great of a quarterback he is.
It also is not lost to me when you talk about just the practice reps that, frankly, probably didn't exist to a full extent this week. And then the guys that he suddenly got to get timing with. And timing was more important in this game. Like, we've all watched Mahomes do what Mahomes does so often, where he runs around until somebody finds their way to get open, which is incredibly impressive. We all know that. I keep saying that one of the best parts of what we saw yesterday wasn't Mahomes off schedule, it was Mahomes on schedule and making some of the throws that he just makes that nobody else can make and finding guys at the right time in the right place and the right pattern on the right route. Like, all of this just speaks to his ability to communicate and his ability to make sure the guys were doing what they needed. There was one play where he was throwing a ball on the outside and the receiver didn't come back to it enough. And you watch Mahomes talking to him.
Come back to it.
And it didn't feel like he was, like, sometimes you see that happen on the field and you feel like it's a quarterback just chewing somebody out. It didn't feel like that to me. It felt like Mahomes was communicating with him in a way. It's like, this is what I need from you, but we're working this out on the fly. And that to me was just so impressive. It speaks to control. And maybe that's a too general a word to use here, but Mahomes felt like he was in control the entire time, no matter who was playing wide receiver, no matter what the situation was. He was in control, and he wasn't allowed to do some of the things he usually does that makes him comfortable. That was more impressive than anything to
Fitz, me. He made a throw last night. It was on the 29-yard catch by Marquez Valdez-Scantling, in which, you know, Mike Hilton, who was playing in the slot over him, undercut the route, and I said to myself, oh, that's going to get intercepted. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball in the only place he could throw that football, and it ended up being an explosive play for them. I don't know if, you know, it's probably three quarterbacks in the league that make that throw. Everyone else, that ball is probably going to get picked off. But it just also shows you that, you know, arm talent and angles and, you know, where he needs to put the ball for his receivers to have a chance. That third and seven to Valdez-Scantling, he put that ball right on the right shoulder of him so he can get north and south quickly. And Valdez-Scantling had the presence to reach the ball out and picked up a first down.
I mean,
they went on and scored a touchdown on that drive.
And you educate me here because obviously you played the position, but it feels like asking to have that level of precision, perfection on throws with guys that maybe you haven't been throwing with as much is not a given, right? Like, so to me, that's part of what was so impressive about it.
Yeah, it's just not happening for everybody, and not everyone can do it. I'm telling you, that first 35 to Kadarius Toney on the first drive of the game, the only place you could put that ball and it hit Kadarius Toney in his hands. And I said, oh my goodness. Patty Mahomes ready, baby. Ready tonight.
Pogo Stick Patrick was out there doing his thing. And, you know, the ankle obviously was not a big deal as we thought it was going to be. I continue to say I cannot imagine what it's going to look like in a couple of weeks when he's had a couple of weeks to get ready for it. But also, I mean, this matchup, and I can't.
Other guys got to get healthy though. His receivers, they're going to have to be healthy in this game,
especially against that defense. Like, yep, I know we're talking healthy. A lot about Mahomes today, but I can promise you, over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a ton of attention paid to the Eagles and their strengths, which are Jalen Hurts one, but also that defense as well. So as we continue to break it down, the question is, what would winning another Super Bowl mean for Patrick Mahomes' legacy? And what one Super Bowl would mean for Jalen Hurts' bank account?
Fitz and Harry, the podcast.
Butker's kick is up, and it is good! The Chiefs are going to end the season in Super Bowl 57.
Attention, air traffic control. A flock of Eagles is heading to Arizona.
This is once-in-a-lifetime opportunities we got right in front of us in our hands. So what you going to do?
Dives for the far front pylon. Touchdown!
He's going to score! Jalen Hurts!
When we control the things we can, we damn good.
Sheds a tackle up the right sideline, 10, 4 by 13.
Pack your bags. We're going to the Super Bowl.
We are, and we cannot wait.
.1065 The Wolf and Sports Radio 94 WIP on the call. It's Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We've been breaking down everything you need to know about yesterday's outcomes and what it means, not just for all four of those teams, but the Super Bowl moving forward. And, of course, our Wolfpack now grows by one of our favorites. Kevin Clark joining us, senior football writer at The Ringer, host of the Slow News Day video pod. Check out all his work. Plus, I'm pretty sure, Harry, as yet unconfirmed, but I feel like between you, Harry Douglas, me, nobody knows, and Kevin Clark, who's a big F1 guy, I feel like the way to get into the Vegas F1 race is through Kevin. So, like, we got to start doing this now, talking football, but then it'll be about F1 because I want to go to the curb in Vegas during an F1 race. So I need both of you guys to come together and make that happen. Kevin Clark joining us. Kevin, we can get to that request in a minute. First and foremost, I'm going to ask you the weirdest thing, because I know you're ready for Mahomes. I know you're ready for Burrow. But just hear me out on this. Did we get proof over the course of the weekend, in your mind, that in order to win against a great quarterback, maybe we should be spending more time talking about great edge rushers?
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the thing. And it's really funny to me, Fitz, because after every big Super Bowl loss by a quarterback, Tom Brady against the Giants is the blueprint here twice, everybody says, well, you got to get a four-man pass rush and then drop everybody back. You got to have those edge rushers. Well, no crap, guys. Like, that's what everybody should be trying to do. And when you have it, and these teams have it, it changes everything. And so I think when you look at what this Super Bowl matchup is trying to tell us, it's deal with the trenches first, deal with the lines. And I'll tell you guys a story. I was in Philly after they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and I was talking to those guys about analytics and going forward on fourth down and the quarterback stuff and rookie contracts, then somebody really high up there stopped me and said, listen, stop talking about all that stuff. We won the Super Bowl because of the lines, because of offensive and defensive lines. And I think that extends through the final four of these teams. And I think you kind of see edge rushers neutralize great quarterbacks, and it doesn't matter. I remember talking to a guy years ago who said, a quarterback cannot be great if you're in his face, 60 times a game.
And I will just reiterate what you just said, and the cliche that it starts up front. Everything starts in the trenches. Offensive line, defensive line, but forget all of that, Kevin. I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes and his greatness that we witnessed last night on the bad ankle. What are some of the things that you've seen from Patrick Mahomes last night that wowed you?
He makes these incredible throws, Harry, and we think it's normal. And he's limping around, and I'm sure you've seen this. There are quarterbacks who would go out with that kind of injury, with an ankle injury, with a foot injury. A couple years ago, it was a toe injury. And he not only stays in the game, he normally just doesn't even come out, but he makes throws. I was joking yesterday on Twitter, he makes throws that would be the best throws in the history of about 10 franchises per game, every game. That MVS throw would have been like a historic throw for like the Carolina Panthers, and it's just another throw for the Kansas City Chiefs because Patrick Mahomes has made the extraordinary look ordinary. It's really amazing. And so, you know, I remember going to Kansas City 2018, I guess his rookie year, and Mike Kafka was the quarterback coach back then, and I was talking about no-look passes and all this stuff, and he's like, you don't understand. He does this so often in practice, we don't think it's interesting, we don't think it's cool, like we've become numb to it, and that was his rookie year. And so we're getting to a point now where he can just do anything on the football field. I'm intrigued to see how this Eagles defense matches up with him, third most sacks in the history of football coming from that defensive line. I believe they got a 61% pressure rate yesterday, which was the highest they've ever recorded since Next Gen Stats started tracking that stuff. So I'm intrigued to see what Mahomes can do with that. But, I mean, he can solve any problem. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, Harry, is that when I look at Reed and Mahomes, I don't see a problem they can overcome as long as the offensive line in front of them is healthy.
So we're talking to Kevin Clark, by the way. You can read him on The Ringer. Check out the Slow News Day video podcast. Follow him on Twitter, @ByKevinClark. So, Kevin, hear me out on this. Obviously, I went to our stats and info group because I'm not smart enough to know this stuff off the top of my head. But if you look at the last now six Super Bowls, eight of those quarterbacks were on veteran deals, only four on rookie deals. If you go back over the last longer period, 10% or more of the cap, there's actually more veteran contracts out there. Mahomes finally getting paid and counts in that group, right? Like, he costs a ton of money. Take the opposite side of this. Jalen Hurts goes out and wins the Super Bowl. He's up for a contract extension. What's that look like for Jalen Hurts?
I mean, it's going to be interesting because the roster that the Eagles have, and it's actually similar to what they had when they won their first Super Bowl, 1-53, it's the best in football. What happens when 35-40 to maybe even 45, I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, all bets are off, a million of that is going towards the quarterback. I don't know. I do know that Howie Roseman, when he signed that Carson Wentz contract, which, by the way, we all thought was a terrible contract, he was able to move off of it pretty quickly. That's just sort of the cost of doing business if you have a quarterback. But Howie Roseman's going to structure it in a really interesting way. When Wentz signed that deal, there were other NFL teams calling Howie and basically saying, like, teach us how you did this because it wasn't hugely damaging to the cap. And so I think it's going to be a significant deal. I think they're going to get it done as soon as they can. One of the hallmarks, going back even to Andy Reid in Philadelphia, signing guys as early as possible to keep those costs down. They do not want to get into a Dak Prescott situation or a Zeke Elliott situation where they're in a stare down and they end up paying a guy more than they could have a year earlier. So I'm intrigued to see how they do it because I do think Howie's probably the best GM in football, but it will get done. I don't think they're going to get too cute. I think everybody around this time, someone always brings up, what if you just, you know, trade in your quarterback every 4 years? That's a good idea in theory on paper. It just doesn't work in practice, and I think we're going to see the Eagles get this done pretty quickly.
You guys can follow him on Twitter @ByKevinClark. Kevin, so we're just going to need the F1 Vegas, just you plus me. I figure Harry's got good name cachet. So
nope, Harry, I'm with Kevin.
I mean, Harry gets us into the curb where we get comped bottle service. You get us into the race, okay? And I'll bring like a little, like maybe a snack, maybe a charcuterie board or something. That's all I can offer. We good?
I have a little bit of cachet, but the place I watch Miami from was the ESPN set, okay? They've got a nice little platform there by a nice turn, so I'm the wrong guy to ask if there's things. I think you need to email Jimmy Pitaro and get a nice little lawn chair on that platform there because ESPN's got the hook up there. I will say with Vegas, I'm seeing some of these packages, Jason. They're only like $1 million for some of these villas. So, I mean, you can't afford not to go.
I'm not going to lie to you. I looked at some of the packages because, you know, I got a little like Caesars action going on. I looked at Caesars. I can't afford it. Now, I don't have Harry Douglas bags, so I can't like.
Man, what are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
I have two kids.
Well, that's fair. Harry's got the penthouse suite. You and I will just tag along there. We'll turn it into a full hangover experience, and we'll go to the race. Perfect. Follow him on Twitter, @ByKevinClark. I love that I've just made myself inserted into this and offered nothing to help. Always appreciate your time, man. Congratulations as a new dad. We're all super excited and happy for you, my friend.
See you, fellas, in November in Vegas.
Perfect. All right, coming up, the one thing that should scare the rest of the NFL. That's next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast.
One, two, three.
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 Three is a magic number.
The year. This was the year that the Chiefs were supposed to take a step back, and instead, they're packing the Super Bowl. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, and the whole time I'm going to eat my feelings, not because Kansas City's there. I'm going to eat my feelings because I realize that Kansas City's going to be there again and again and again and again. It's like suddenly you wake up one day and you realize that your ex is with Tom Brady and super famous and walking red carpets, and you're like, what the hell happened? Like, that is my life. I'm just going to constantly look at the Chiefs and Mahomes and realize that there's no amount of whiskey that can make me feel better on Sundays.
3 hours later.
There's no such thing as not trying, though. I mean, I can try to have enough whiskey to make me forget. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Harry Douglas dancing. Dancing.
One more time, 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 time.
Okay, now he's singing. I don't know if I don't know if I needed all that, Harry. You love it. You know, I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
You love it.
It's just a full mutiny happening, right?
Ah.
Devin's in there just dancing like a maniac.
One more time, yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you
guys.
Don't
be jealous. I got those pipes.
He's
here. I have those pipes.
There are a lot of things I'm jealous of in your life. Your music ability is not one of them. It's Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. What am I talking about? Like, let me be very clear. If we ever decide to have, when we decide to have a karaoke contest between ESPN Radio shows, we will not just win. We will dominate, and it won't even be close. And also, if there was ever a show on ESPN Radio that could form a boy band tomorrow and still sell records, I think it's us. Like, the eventuality of Fitz and Harry, like maybe we go like some combo of Backstreet Boy meets Boys to Men, like we do a whole boy band thing. I'm in. Like, we'll put out a record. It'll be a little soul, little boy band, little action. We'll let Devin do all the dancing and choreography. That's the approach. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. You just heard me joking about it, eating my feelings. But this is just one of those staggering realizations for me, Harry, because when you hit on the draft, I think you realize if you've got your guy, you've got your guy for the next 15 years. That's the way the quarterback position is. And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but I'm going to say this. I walked away from Sunday's matchup more convinced than ever, for the AFC particularly, that if you want to compete, and you know I've never said this, right? If you want to compete, I think you actually do have to roll the dice on a quarterback in the draft. Like, I don't think you can have mediocrity at the quarterback and compete anymore with Joe Burrow, with Patrick Mahomes, with Lamar Jackson, with Josh Allen, with Justin Herbert. Like, you just can't. I think if you are stuck in the middle, if you don't have the guy, if you don't have him with a capital H, then you just got to keep going and going and going until you find him. Even if it means every year in the first round you draft a quarterback till you get it right, who cares at this point? Because you're taking that on for the next 15. You're taking that guy on for the next 15 years. You ain't beating Mahomes unless you got somebody that can beat Mahomes. And there aren't many people that can beat Mahomes. So, like, what the hell's the point?
Well, I agree with you, but I don't think it's just the AFC. I think it's NFL, period.
Yeah.
Right? If your quarterback isn't playing at a high level, and I get – you know, the 49ers made the NFC Championship game with a third-string quarterback. We also got to remember the way that roster is constructed, too, and how many elite players they do have in San Francisco. But if you're in the AFC, if your quarterback isn't that dude, you don't have a chance. And when I mean that dude, that guy that can, you know, go up against a Mahomes, go up against a Joe Burrow, if your quarterback's not that type of player, it's going to be hard for you to compete to even come out of the AFC.
It's crazy because, you know me, I'm so risk averse at the quarterback position. I've always thought, well, if you've got somebody that won't lose you games, you can at least be competitive. I just don't know if that's really true right now in the AFC, particularly because they're also young, so athletic. I'll put Jalen Hurts in that same category, though. You know, like, and yes, they took a chance on Jalen Hurts in the second round, right? You know, and so you look across the board, it's like you've just got to keep taking chances, because I don't know, and I don't even know, I'm using this one team as an example. I don't even know if the Steelers know this yet, but they've got to find out quickly if Kenny Pickett can compete with Joe Burrow. Not like they used to say, and this is, you know, I'll go back to my music roots. When I was first pitching for a record deal in Nashville, I remember one of the entertainment people I talked to that ran a record label said, because we thought the band I was in at the time, we thought we were better than every other band that was trying to get a deal. And he was like, I'm not going to sign you if you're better than the other people trying to get a deal. I'm going to sign you if I believe right now you can sell records against Keith Urban. If I believe today that you can outsell Garth Brooks. Like, that's who you sign. You sign people that you think can come in and sell records against the best of the best of the best. Like, you being the best wide receiver in a class isn't just the only portion of this conversation. It also has to be like, can this wide receiver compete with Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like, so yep. I think that the analogy changes in the NFL at this point, where you're looking at the draft, and instead of just sitting there saying, well, is this the best quarterback? You got to ask yourself, is this a guy that I believe can be as good as Joe Burrow? Like, because if you got Kenny Pickett and he happened to be the best quarterback last year, that doesn't mean diddly squat. If Kenny Pickett can't compete with Joe Burrow, you're going to be taking on Burrow for the next 20 years. The AFC West is going to be taking on Mahomes for the next 15, 20 years.
Here's the unique part about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was doing a little research right there while you were talking. I'm looking at their roster, right, and guys who've played meaningful snaps for them this season and even last night in that game. You want to know how many rookies they had involved?
No. How many?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Want me to name them? Brian Cook. You know, you got Williams at the cornerback position, who's a rookie. Jalen Watson, who got an interception last night. He's a rookie. Trent McDuffie. Pacheco. Sky Moore. Karlaftis. Chenault at the linebacker position. All these are rookies that have played meaningful football for the Kansas City Chiefs this season.
Those are the moments that's what they have to do. When you've paid your quarterback, you have to hit in the draft. You have to bring in rookies that can make meaningful impact,
but
right?
But wait though, Fitz. I didn't even mention the first or second year players. They have a boatload of those as well. First and second year players.
I mean, if you pay Mahomes, that's your only choice. Your only way to be competitive is to hit home runs in the draft consistently, at least hit singles.
And I see why you're banging your head against the wall every week, being a Raiders fan. Jeez. I would too.
All right, that's it. I'm just going to go. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do today, whether I'm going to talk to my therapist about this or whether I'm just going to drink my way through it. But either way, congratulations. We know the Super Bowl matchup, and at this point, we'll keep breaking it down for you for the next couple of weeks. Thanks for hanging out with us, Fitz and Harry, on ESPN Radio. Kaney and Carlin, hanging out with you next.
Listening to the Fitz and Harry podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, and you can watch on the ESPN app.